Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast, the post-quali podcast, the PQP, as you may well have got used to these days, but our podcast after the qualifying session, the Italian Grand Prix. And what a strange qualifying we had, where half the grid almost had engine penalties. So it was a slightly different kind of kettle of fish for us. But before we dive into all of that, I want to introduce the founder of WTF1, birthed out of his brain, Tom Bellingham. Wow. How Hello. Are you, Tommy? Great to have you on the podcast. Thanks for spending some time with us today to really dive through qualifying. I know you're a busy man. Children, WTF1 foundering. It's a busy life.
It is. But yeah, I will try my best to get my head around that qualifying because it is a confusing one. And we've been doing this for a very long time and we can't work it out. So goodness knows how new fans have a clue what's going on. At least the guy on pole is actually on pole, because it looked like at one point Leclerc might qualify fourth and still get pole, which would just be ridiculous.
Spoiler alert, I'm sure you've watched qualifying by now. Leclerc, yep, on pole position, legitimately valid. A lap that was the best of everybody in Q3, which I was not expecting at all. But we'll dive into Q3 very shortly. We'll go to Q1 first, though, because we need to talk about Latifi, Vettel, Stroll, Magnussen and Schumacher, who were the bottom five. I think the big talking point is, of course, Nyck de Vries being brought in because Alex Albon, unfortunately, is suffering with appendicitis. So we wish him a speedy recovery. That has also allowed for the greatest moment for Nyck de Vries' racing career, a job interview at the Italian Grand Prix. Of course, kind of rumoured potentially to get a seat, but not really sure. And all of a sudden, straight out the blocks, out qualifies the GOAT of Formula One, Nicholas Latifi, quite comprehensively as well.
Well, yeah, he got his lap time deleted and just made it in the end. Mm. But still, let's just talk about this.
Yeah, I guess Nicholas, 200ths is not comprehensively, the lap before.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Basically, Nicholas Latifi has been in that car all season. Nyck de Vries, yes, he did an FP1 in that Williams and he did the FP1 in the Aston. He only got 25 minutes at the end of FP3 because he found out very late that he was going to be in that car. He's done 25 minutes of FP3. He's gone out. He's had a lap time deleted and he's still out-qualified Nicholas Latifi. There's no argument other than memes how Latifi can keep his seat now. It's got to the point where he's getting worse, if anything.
This particular qualifying session and weekend with Albon being out and de Vries going in, it is a lose-lose situation for Nicholas Latifi.
Yeah.
If he out-qualifies de Vries, yeah, you're supposed to, mate. If he doesn't, he looks like a bit of a mug. And unfortunately, he got out-qualified by de Vries. Surely he is not on the grid next year. This is not from hatred. This is because he's not good enough. And
it's,
I know that people
will
go, but why do you support Ricciardo? Well, there's a lot of love and support and empathy and everything like that for Danny Ric, and I do love him very much, but I also agree that he's not been good enough. But then again, he actually had a pretty decent qualifying, so we won't go too much into that. But yes, Nicholas Latifi, how are you getting out qualified by someone who's still probably trying to learn half the buttons on the steering wheel? He was in a different car in FP1. He was in an Aston Martin, who were also dreadful, out at 17th and 18th in Q1. It's unforgivable, I think. If there was ever a smidgen of hope for Latifi to stay in that Williams seat, and Williams go, oh, well, maybe we'll just keep someone that we know, and he knows the team. And no, that Williams car is not as bad as everyone makes out. And that's because Nicholas Latifi is in that car, unfortunately.
People watching us on Twitch right now, you go back to the start of the Twitch stream, and I'm pretty sure I said, if de Vries out-qualifies Nicholas Latifi, you might as well rip up his contract there and then, because you can't be being beaten by someone that's just had 25 minutes in the car right before, when you've been in it all season and done all the practice sessions, 3 hours of practice. It is, you're right, it's unforgivable. and for him to get a lap time deleted and still beat him, it's inexcusable.
Melvin in the Twitch chat says, De Vries pressed the wrong button for the final run in Q2. This is what I mean. He was probably on the pit limiter and still managed to beat Nicholas Latifi. But yeah, I mean, look, we're straight up with our messaging here that Williams, if you genuinely mean that you don't need money and that you just want talent, you have to replace Latifi with someone. It doesn't necessarily have to be De Vries. If that doesn't work for whatever reason, maybe he doesn't bring enough money. But anyone at this stage. Yeah.
Well, De Vries
didn't even know he was 13th. Racing this weekend. De Vries, 13th.
13th. Yeah. And that's before grid penalties are applied.
We start on about 9th.
Yeah.
I think.
Roughly. It's a long shot because he doesn't know the buttons and things. But if Nick De Vries jumps in to this Williams, and I know it's their best track, but if he scores a point and Latifi doesn't, and probably won't all season, it doesn't even matter if that happens because this qualifying session is done. And
it's
they've
done.
Got to go. And I think that's a great, like you say, it's a job interview for De Vries. And as far as I'm concerned, he's passed it. Right.
He's passed with flying colours. He did make a few mistakes in free practice, just trying to learn the limits of the car, but fair enough. I mean, he's trying to get ready for qualifying. Thankfully, kept it out of the wall when he went through the gravel trap a couple of times. But yeah, a great qualifying performance. Did it when it mattered. And yeah, big props to De Vries. And we won't go on any more Nicholas Latifi slander for the rest of this podcast, although no promises. But yeah, Aston Martin, dreadful, 17th and 18th. And Haas, also dreadful. Terrible track for them. Schumacher was going to start at the back anyway. And he's now going to be starting in the middle sector with how many penalty positions he has. Okay, so that's Q1 done and dusted. We then move to Q2. And the drivers that were out were Ocon, Bottas, De Vries, Zhou Guanyu, and Tsunoda. Tsunoda didn't bother going out because starting at the back anyway, didn't even fancy helping his teammate, which was an intriguing decision from AlphaTauri. But it's fine. Like, people were saying, oh, why didn't you give the slipstream? As long as you're in that train and you're not the conductor of that train, then you're going to be fine. You'll get slipstream from somebody. But either way, Ocon was probably a bit of a scalp for Alpine, but still only one position off Alonso because he bottled Q3 drastically, did Fernando Alonso. Don't know the full ins and outs of it right now as to whether he had a problem, but we did see him trolling a little bit at the start of Q3, letting Perez through to lead the train. But Q2, Bottas, a bit anonymous, but P12, you know, it doesn't really matter again penalties for him, does it? So this is what I mean. There's so many penalties that for me, right? Formula One have to
do something.
Simplify, either do something about the rules so that it's easier to understand, or simplify it for people watching. Because qualifying, for me, there has to be something on screen to
show.
But
no one knows. This is the problem.
And that's the
problem. Even the rules, the problem. Like, I've just seen a tweet, right, from Chris Medlin, who's a journalist, and he's tweeted that every single person in the media center has a different idea of what the grid is. And they're the experts.
Yeah.
How are new fans going to understand what on earth is going on if the people that are flying out to races and paid to be there, they don't even have a clue what the order is? And, you know, qualifying finished 20 minutes ago, and we have no idea if Max Verstappen is going to start third or seventh. It's mad. It's absolutely mad.
Did he start third?
I don't know. The fourth is probably minimum.
Either way, or the maximum, sorry. But yeah, it's just, this is what I mean. If you want, like, Drive to Survive has done an amazing job at capturing an audience. So many people have flooded into this sport. Formula One now have the job to simplify a very complicated and technical sport.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of a better word for that. But it is, right? They have to strip it down. It's like a football. It's like you're watching a football match and you don't know what the score is.
It could be
3-0. We're not actually sure because one of the drivers had to take an engine penalty. Drivers, football players, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a bit stupid. But it just, they need to simplify the ruling and also how you visualize and absorb the qualifying session, because if there are engine penalties, there needs to be something up on screen. There needs to be a little BG for back of the grid next to one of the driver's graphics or something.
I mean, it shouldn't be up to me on the Twitch watch along reading something from our website to basically inform our users what the penalties are. And yeah, hopefully by the end of this podcast we know, so we can give you some kind of order. But at the moment, we just have to go based on what the thing is before the grid penalties are applied, which will obviously be completely different because, like you said, Matt, it is not quite half the grid. It's 9 out of the 20 drivers have a penalty, and they're all the confusing thing as well is they're all different. It's not a case of you just go, okay, all of those drivers go to the back, where you can just pick them out and you go, Verstappen goes here because he's the highest of the grid penalties, and they're all the same penalties. They're all different penalties, so it's all going to work out completely different, and you need a supercomputer to work out where anyone
exactly
is.
The Shadow 3543 in the Twitch chat right now says, how does Max end up in fourth? He should be in seventh. If he is fourth, it's an injustice to the McLaren team when they had a great quali. I mean, realistically, McLaren qualified seventh and eighth, so let's not celebrate that too much. But the understanding is, right, that the plus placed penalties, the plus 5, the plus 10, the plus 15, gets worked out first, and then the back of the grid penalties then are applied afterwards. That's my understanding
that's
of it.
What I've heard.
And that's the general consensus, which means that Verstappen would take his penalty first, and then the Hamilton, etc., the Perez, is he back of the grid? No, Sainz back of the grid.
Sainz back of the grid.
Those would be counted at the end. It's just madness, isn't it?
This is tongue in cheek, but my word, I'm looking forward to Twitter's very sensible reaction when Max Verstappen only ends up with probably docked 3 places when he's meant to have 5. I'm sure it will be taken very well on Twitter.
The FIA,
favouring Red Bull.
MV0
again.
Oh, my
God.
It's
just the way it is. Unfortunately, we've had it before. I mean, Valtteri Bottas is a perfect example. We said it in that last podcast and it blew up on social, but he started, qualified 20th, had 25 place of grid penalties and started 14th. It's just something has to change.
It's just
it's
crazy,
so ridiculous.
I love how they sort of stripped it down, didn't they, originally, when I think a few years ago with the Fernando Alonso McLaren Honda era, where he had like 60 places of penalties, and they were like, no, that's too many, we're just going to allow 30 now, or whatever it is. But yeah, it's just all very confusing. Hopefully it'll get cleared up and changed for all of us watching, because none of us know what the grid is going to be, so we will see. And I can see as well F1 posting a here's the starting order, and then like one of the teams going, that's not what we've got,
right? I've just gone, it's funny you mentioned that. This shows that it hasn't changed. This is 7 years ago. This is the 2015 Italian Grand Prix. I've just gone on Wikipedia and looked at the notes from the qualifying. Marcus Ericsson, 3 place grid penalty. Carlos Sainz, 35 place grid penalty. Kvyat, 35 place grid penalty. Daniel Ricciardo, 50 place grid penalty. Jenson Button, 5 place grid penalty. Fernando Alonso, 10 place grid penalty. Max Verstappen, 30 place grid penalty. That was 7 years ago, and we're still here. In fact, we've got more grid penalties. How has that happened?
Oh, God. I don't know. I do not know. But here we are. Let's move away from penalties now. This is a very interesting debate, but one that we could probably go on for throughout the entire day. So, Ocon, Bottas, De Vries, Zhou, and Tsunoda were the drivers out in Q2, and then we get to Q3, where it was Leclerc, Verstappen, Sainz, Perez, Hamilton, Russell, Norris, Ricciardo, Gasly, Alonso in terms of the finishing order, in terms of before penalties are applied. Big talking points there. Yes, Tommy?
I was just going to say, can I just say, before penalties are applied, 10th and 11th for Alpine is absolutely shocking with that car. That what I thought they were going to do, a track like Monza.
Pretty sure
I thought it was going to
suit Alonso top 5 in quality.
I did.
There is he going to end up in top 5 anyway? Probably not.
You're
not going to be able to try
and
swindle that one on the podcast.
Yeah, I'll be trying. But even still, 10th and 11th is a shocker for Alpine. This should have been one of their best tracks, and that chance to get that podium. But that's going to be a tough ask now.
It certainly is. It's a big talking points, I think. One of them that I noticed, which was a tiny thing, but one that potentially allowed Verstappen to get ahead of Sainz, was the fact that Carlos had his final run without really any kind of slipstream. Maybe a very, 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 very distant toe, but he fell off the back of, I think it was a couple of cars ahead of him. So essentially had to run his final time without that toe, which you'd imagine being just over a tenth behind Verstappen, that may well have been the difference between getting a proper Ferrari 1-2 lockout before a penalty was applied than Verstappen managing to pip Sainz. So I found that a little bit strange.
Yeah, end up crucial as well, because the start of the session, it was looking all very good for Ferrari that, ironically, you know, Sainz being ahead of Leclerc, but it was still a 1-2, is actually better for them because it would have put Max down further. But the fact that Max managed to pip Sainz in the end means that he's up another place. And
if maybe, who knows?
Maybe.
Who knows? He might well start at the back of the grid. We don't know. It is all a mystery. But just to kind of highlight how clear Ferrari and Red Bull were, or at least the top three, Leclerc, Verstappen and Sainz all separated by a quarter of a second. And then Sergio Perez was a second back from Leclerc. And then Hamilton 1.3, George 1.3, 1.4 Lando, 1.7 Danny Ric, and 2.4 Pierre Gasly. And then Fernando Alonso, as I mentioned earlier, completely bottled it by the sounds of it. Didn't get a lap time in, which was such a missed opportunity. I was properly on board for an Alonso
front row.
But it didn't happen, did it?
No, shocking. Shocking from... I'd be interested to see what happened. Don't know if he made a couple of mistakes. He did his first run and we saw him get out the way with one of the Ferraris. But to have the problem again, like he was having a bit of a gamesmanship with Perez, like you said, that he went out the pits early. But I can't actually... I'd be interested to see what actually happened with Alonso, because, shocker for him when it looked like he was going to have a good... This should have been a really good weekend for Alpine, and it could still be, but so far, not great.
Crip Q, how is Verstappen so fast in Spa but so slow here? I don't get it. I wouldn't say so slow. I mean, a tenth and
Doing well when you're so slow and you're second on the grid.
Well, not starting second. That'll be a meme. They are very different tracks. Spa is a mixture of high speed and relying on quite a bit of downforce in that middle sector, whereas you'd have to say that it's a bit more basic and stripped back Monza. It's much more power, and it seems as though Verstappen as well went for a higher downforce setup than Ferrari have. He lost a bit of time in that first sector especially, and he said in the post-quali interview that that slightly higher downforce setup may pay dividends when we get to Sunday tomorrow. So they think, Red Bull think, that setup is going to be the one to beat Ferrari, but having that slightly less straight line speed might be interesting, especially if he's not able to make up positions immediately at the start. How risky does he go from P4 on the grid? It's going to get a little bit tight around him.
So yeah, that'll be interesting. That'll be interesting with his, like you say, draggier car, but then we still don't know. This is going to be the theme of the podcast. We don't know where he's going to start, but he might only have a Mercedes and a McLaren to pass, which they're not known for having the greatest straight line speed, are they? So, yeah, he's been mighty in the middle sector, and it might be, it's going to be an interesting race to see how he sort of plays that, because normally Monza is just a one stop, isn't it? You get that like one opportunity, and then Leclerc needs to hope, really, just pull away at the start and hope that Verstappen gets a bit held up with his wing. And we know how difficult it is to pass at Monza, despite it being, it should in theory be a good track. You did the video about it, didn't you? That it should be the easiest place to overtake. And the way the teams have gone with their grid penalties, they kind of seem to think it as well, but it's not actually the case. The last two seasons, for example, we've had two bizarre winners, mainly thanks to the fact that you can't pass.
Certainly. It's funny, someone just came into the chat, who is me, and says, so where does Max start? That kind of sums up our podcast, really. We don't know yet, but we imagine P4, but we wait for clarification. That will pretty much be that, I think, for this podcast. With the DRS not working and DRS transforming, will Verstappen win, or is this Leclerc Monza 2019? We don't know. Not sure.
You'll have to join us tomorrow.
Verstappen is inevitable, but yes, you'll have to join us tomorrow as we will be live on Twitch once again. WTF1 official, if you are listening on audio, we are live on Twitch right now doing our post-quality podcast. Make sure to come check us out on Twitch if you'd like to watch along with the race with us for the race tomorrow before we go to a 3-week break before the next one. And Tommy, final thoughts?
Final thoughts are it is now 34 minutes after qualifying and I still don't know what the grid is. And that needs to change.
It's a proper SpongeBob meme moment right now with that everything's on fire. That's the F1 HQ right now. They have no idea what the grid's going to be.
Clue.
And the fact that F1 haven't posted it either just shows that it's a bit chaotic.
They're doing the same. Going.
Yep. They might even sit back and go,
we'll do it tomorrow.
I think
we'll do it tomorrow morning.
Do you reckon we should change the rules? Maybe.
The problem is this happens, like I mentioned on that thing in 2015, that it happens every year at Spa and Monza. And then we have another 7 races. Everyone forgets about it. And then we get to guaranteed next year. We don't talk about it again. And then we're here again next year at Spa and Monza going, these penalties are ridiculous. They need to change.
Yep, you know
it. You just know it.
We're in a hell loop right now and we don't know it. But anyway, thank you so much, everybody, for watching live on Twitch. And thank you to audio listeners. We're going to say goodbye to you now. We're going to carry on for a few more minutes over on Twitch. So make sure come follow us, WTF1 Official. And tomorrow, live watch along. See you there. Take care. Adios. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tommy's waved to audio listeners again. Unbelievable. Right, we're back, everybody. Tommy's just told me to carry on recording. We just said goodbye, and Tommy's got the official order. So, Tommy, take us through it.
Well, it's not the official order, because it's just this is what Sky thinks, and a lot of people think, including F1 TV. So we still don't know, but as far as we think, this might be the order. So it's Leclerc, Russell, Norris, Verstappen, Ricciardo, Gasly, Alonso, De Vries in P8. Guan Yu Zhou in 9th and Sergio Perez in 10th. Wow.
That is shocking.
That is shocking.
Nick De Vries starting P8 in his first ever Formula One race in the Williams. I'm excited to see how he does.
That is big hype. And looking forward to the very sensible reaction to Max Verstappen starting 4th after having a 5-place grid penalty from P2. I'm sure there will be no overreaction whatsoever.
I'm ready for a De Vries train. I'm ready for 8th all the way down to 20th being behind Nick De Vries for the entire race and that rocket ship of a Williams.
Latifi's
looking
11th.
Forward to it. Latifi's 11th. Wow. 2 Williams in the mix despite Latifi qualifying 16th. Unbelievable. Okay. Right. Thank you, Tommy, for that update and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.